Okay, we're beginning here with the Gemara on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We had the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yeshua makes the point that if you bring an Olat Ha'ov, and instead of doing the Olat Ha'ov above the Chutah Sikra like an Olat Ha'ov, the Kohen instead does the Olat Ha'ov below the Chutah Sikra, which is like a Chatat, but not only does he do below the Chutah Sikra, which make it like a Chatat, he actually does it, processes it like a Chatat, l'shem Chatat. Rabbi Yeshua over there says the Olah turns into a Chatat, and the Me'ilah is then removed. Because the difference between an Olah and a Chatat is that after an Olah is processed, it still requires the placement on the Mizbeach. So it means that the Me'ilah, or the Chiyuv Me'ilah, never leaves it, because it always remains Kodesh, it still belongs to the Mizbeach. On the other hand, a Chatat, after it's processed, goes to the Kohanim. That's what we call Heter LeKohanim, and the Me'ilah then disappears because it's no longer designated or delineated to be something that's Kodesh going to Hashem, now belongs to the Kohanim. What Rabbi Yeshua suggested was if you take an Olat Ha'ov and you process it exactly like a Chatat Ha'ov below the Chutei Sikra, then you end up with a Chatat Ha'ov and there's no longer any Me'ilah. We'll see what ramifications that has in terms of what else you gain from that. The thing that he does say is there's no Me'ilah. Question in today's Gemara will be, does that make it into a full-fledged chatat, where you can be yotze with that chatat? That we'll ask later on in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer tried to disprove Rabbi Yeshua's position. Rabbi Eliezer believes when you do an olat tov below the chutah sikra, like a chatat tov, it's psula. And if it's psula, then you never rid yourself of the problem of me'ilah. And the me'ilah is retained because it was an olah originally, and just now becomes an olah psula, which still has an Isur Mi'ilah that is associated with it. So then the Mishnah brought a discourse between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua back and forth about proofs that Rabbi Elazar was trying to bring to disprove Rabbi Yeshua's position and Rabbi Yeshua's answers to that. Now we have Tanya, we have a Braita that has a similar discourse between them, seemingly akin to what we had in our Mishnah, which is the case that Rabbi Elazar said, Kodshei Kodashim Shishachtan Bidarom, if you take Kodshei Kodashim and you shecht them in the south, which is what here you do Kodshim Kalim, Shechtam L'Shem Kodshim Kalim, and there he did it, L'Shem Kodshim Kalim. That was the example brought in the Mishnah. This Braita seems to bring a more particular example, but is akin to that case in the Mishnah, which is Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua Asham, which is Kodshei Kodashim, Sheshachato B'Tzafon, he did it in the north, L'Shem Shlamim, which is Kodshim Kalim. Yochiach, that will prove you wrong. Sheshinat Shemo, because there you change the name, Umalimbo, and it still remains a problem of Me'ilah. Ve'af avta altitama alahola, and so then why should you be surprised by Olat Ha'ov, Shafopi Shishinat Shema, even though they changed it from an Olat Ha'ov to a Chatat Ha'ov, Shimaluba, that the Me'ilah should not dissipate in this case. Amar lo Rav Yeshua, lo, that's not a similar case. Im amart ve'asham shimshinat shemo, lo shinat mikomo, over there, all you did was change the name of the korban from an asham to a shlamim. You didn't change the location in which you are doing the processing of the korban. Tomar bola, meaning olat ov, shishinat shema, mishinat mikoma. Not only did you change it from an olat ov to a chatat ov, you also changed the location in which you're processing. Instead of doing it on the upper half of the mizbeach, you do it on the lower half of the mizbeach. So I'm allowed Rabbi Eliezer, asham shishachato bidarom, l'shem shlamim, yochiach. So this is the case of our Mishnah, which is he takes Kodshei Kodashim, which is Nasham, and he shucks it in the Darom, which is the area where you would process Kodshim Kalim. He does it L'Shem Shlamim. So now you have Shinui Shema, which is you change the name of the Korban from an Asham to a Shlamim, as well as Shinui Mekomo, which is you moved it from the Tzafon, where it should have been processed, instead to the Darom, Yochiach. That will prove my point. Shishina et Shmo, Shishina et Mekomo. You change the name of the Korban, you change the location, you're processing the Korban, Umalimbo. And there still is Mi'ilah. Afatal titama ala olah. You shouldn't be surprised by an olat ha'ov. Sha'av bishi shinat shema. You change it from an olat ha'ov to a chatat ha'ov. You do it the same chatat. Shinat mikoma. Not only did you change the name to a chatat, you also processed it in the alternate location like a chatat. You shouldn't be surprised there that mu'alimba, that there still is residual Mi'ilah. Over here, the problem with the example that Rabbi Eliezer brings is that you're speaking about an asham. An asham is no different than a chatat and other kodshei kodashim, which are eden. And that is, until the korban is brought, there is mi'ilah, because it's kodshei kodashim. As soon as the zrikat adam has been done on the mizbeach, that releases the animal to be eaten by the kohanim, there's no longer any mi'ilah. So now, Rabbi Eliezer is bringing proof from an asham that he switches to a shlamim, that there should be mi'ilah associated with it. Well, the mi'ilah by the asham disappears at the time of the zrikat adam. So what mi'ilah are you worried about, that when you switch it from the asham to the shlamim, that there still be mi'ilah? As soon as you get through zrikat adam, the mi'ilah is gone anyway. So what does it mean that asham that you did like a shlamim will have a din of mi'ilah? So Rashi claims over here, lifnei zrika, says that's only up to the point before zrikat adam. L'achas zrika leka mi'ilah. But once you hit zrikat adam, there is no mi'ilah. So for Rashi, it's that short period of time between the shchita, which you did inappropriately here, you did a shchita of an asham as a shlamim in the wrong location in the darom. So then we say that it still has a din of mi'ilah. That din of mi'ilah will last until zrikat adam, and that's it. That's what Rashi says. Enochanami, the mi'ilah that we're speaking about here is a mi'ilah that's not going to persist forever. It's a mi'ilah that has a short duration to it, from the time of shchita to the time of zrikat adam. Unlike the case of the ofot, whereby Rabbi Yeshua says there's no mi'ilah, Rabbi Elazar says the mi'ilah. When Rabbi Elazar says the mi'ilah, means mi'ilah forever. Because by olata of, the mi'ilah persists even after the zrikat adam, because the entire of goes on the mizbeach. So then Rashi just says, lifnei zrika. The Balei Tosafot are bothered about that, and say, Tema, Lehmat Moalim. When does mi'ilah exist? If you want to suggest it's lifnei zrikat hadam, like Rashi, says olata of, nami lifnei hazaah, umitsui, moder Rabbi Yeshua de Moalim. Even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that that olata of has mi'ilah until the point that the dam is put on the mizbeach. Until the dam is processed on the mizbeach, it still has the status of an olata of. It only changes to a chatat when you do a maseh chatat to it. That means that you need to do the milika, like a chatat, below the chutzikra, and then put the dam on the mizbeach like a chatat. So it means that Rabbi Yeshua agrees that it doesn't switch from an olah to a chatat until after the matan dam. So then how is this an upending of Rabbi Yeshua's position? Because even Rabbi Yeshua agrees, lifnei zrika, there is mi'ilah by the olah tov, and then the asham that has it before zrikat adam does not disprove his position, where he believes after zrikat adam there's no mi'ilah. Well, by Hashem, the same thing is true also. After Zrikat Adam, there is no Mi'ilah. So the Balei Tosafot say, B'tzarech Lomar, to Rabbi Eliezer the Tameh. This is Rabbi Eliezer the Shitato. If you remember in the first Mishnah in the Masechta, there was a day on that Mishnah, that not only there's a Chatat that you do, Shalol Yishma, Psula, but even a Asham that is done, Lol Yishmo, is also Pasul. Just like a chatat comes for an aveira, and if you do it shalol lishma, it is psula. Rabbi Eliezer believed that an asham has that same status, that an asham that's done shalol lishma is also pasul, and then the mi'ilah would persist onwards. Because now you never reached a point where there was a zrika tadam that actually cleared it so that there is no mi'ilah. Because in the case before where Rashi was speaking about the asham being switched to the shlamim, once you hit the zrika tadam, that zrikat adam already clears it of mi'ilah, because that's an efficacious zrikat adam. Because a asham that's done shalol lishmo is still kasher, according to the majority opinion. If it's still kasher, then the zrikat adam clears the mi'ilah. But if you believe that an asham done shalol lishmo is pasul, that means that once you've made that change, you can't get rid of the mi'ilah anymore, because you can't make it into a kosher korban. If that's the case, then the mi'ilah would persist even beyond the zrikat adam. And that's the Balei Tosafot suggestion over here, that Rabbi Eliezer is the Shitato, and that's why he brings an Asham in particular, that's being switched to a Shlamim, because an Asham, Shalol Lishmo, is Pasul. Now, that opens up the possibility that Rabbi Yeshua should have just answered him, I don't hold like that. That's very nice, but I don't hold of your view that an Asham that's done Shalol Lishmo is pasul. I think an Hashem that's done shalol lishmo is kasher, and therefore I'm not faced with that problem or the question that you are asking. The Balei Tosafot do not address that issue, but the truth is that Rabbi Yeshua could not answer that to Rabbi Eliezer, because all Rabbi Yeshua has to say to him is, okay, you may not feel that way about an Hashem, but it would be true by a chatat. If you did a chatat that switched it to a shlamim, you'd end up with the same result, And there you agree with me that a chatat that zen shlo lishma is problematic. So here, Rabbi Elazar brought the example of an asham, which is the shitato, but even if you did it with a chatat, you'd end up with the same result and the same question. And so therefore, Rabbi Yeshua can't say to him, asham, I don't hold like that, because he could just brought the chatat. He happens to bring an asham, because that's his opinion over here. But in that way, the Bali HaTosafot then avoid the whole problem that Rashi suggests here, that it's l'fnei zrikat adam, which even Rabbi Yeshua agrees by the olat ha'of, l'fnei zrikat adam, it is also a problem, me'ilah. And now he extends it beyond the zrikat adam, so that the me'ilah persists. And that's how the Bali HaTosafot deal with the issue. Now, what's interesting over here is that the Braita never brings the answer that Rabbi Yeshua proffers in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah just says, you can't bring me a proof from Shlamim, because Shlamim, after the fact, have part of it that ends up as being Mi'ilah, part of it that is clear to Mi'ilah. The part that's eaten by the Balim and the Kohanim is clear to Mi'ilah. The Emurim that go on the Mizbeach still have a din of Mi'ilah. In the Mishnah, that's how Rabbi Yeshua answered Rabbi Eliezer. He said, you can't prove anything to me from Kodshei Kodashim that were switched to a Shlamim, because the Shlamim still has a world of Mi'ilah associated with it. I'm talking an Olat Oaf that's changed to a Chatat Oaf. Chatat Oaf has no Mi'ilah whatsoever. After you do the Azat Adam and the Mitzuy Adam of the Chatat and the Mizbeach, there is no Mi'ilah whatsoever, because the entire Oaf goes to the Kohen. There's nothing that goes on the Mizbeach. So the two cases are not parallel. So the Rabbeinu Baruch says in the Balei Tosafot, Temali, Leimalei Shekein Shinat Shemot Ledavar Asur Ledavar Mutar, Kedamar Matnitin, and then you would solve the problem. Or the Gemara is going to give a different answer here in the Braita. Why didn't the answer that was brought here, why wasn't that brought in the Mishnah? So it seems to me the Braita and the Mishnah follow different paths, and they don't pick up the solution or the answer that Rabbi Yeshua gives in either case. That might have to do with the fact that I mentioned yesterday, and you will see it later in the daf now, that Rabbi Yeshua's reasoning is not based on this Mishnah of the Braita, rather in a different consideration completely. And the question is, what's the correlation between his answers over here, which is simply trying to dismiss Rabbi Eliezer, and the true reason for his opinion, which we're going to discuss in a minute. So it might be that the Braita and the Mishnah are just bringing ways to dismiss it. They're not bringing his underlying proof or underlying reasoning for his position. So Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, lo, can't make that comparison. Imad bisham shishinat shemo, bishinat mikomo, veloshina et ma'asav. Over there, Bnei Hashem, you have two changes. You have a change in its name, and you changed it to a different korban. You changed its location, but what you didn't do is change the way you process it. The processing of an Hashem and a Shlamim are identical. They both require Shkita, they both require Kabbalat Adam, and they both require Shtayim Shein Arba. There's nothing in the processing of the Hashem versus the Shlamim that changes. So you made no change in the Maaseh itself. Tomar be'ula, shishinat, shema, bet masa, meshinat, mikoma. By the olat of, that you change to a chatat of, you change three things. You change the name of the korban, shema, you change it from an olat to a chatat. You shinat, mikoma, you change the location, you moved it from being above the kudas sikra to below the kudas sikra. In addition, shinat, masa, you change the way that you process it. The malika that's done for a chatat of is different than an olat of. Chatat Ov only takes one siman, and then maybe rov basar. The olat Ov requires two simanim, at least, and then maybe rov basar. So there's first of all a change in maaseh, and then beyond that, the azat adam. By the chatat, you do azat adam, and then you do mitzui adam. But the olat, you would have only done mitzui adam. So there's not only a change in the name of the korban, the location of the korban, but actually the way you're processing the korban. So how can you compare the cases? The braita ended, and Rabbi Eliezer doesn't respond to Rabbi Yeshua. So, Amar Rava, v'neim alei. Why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer answer the following? Asham shishachato b'darom, l'shem shlamim, b'shinui ba'alim. He does three different shinuim. Shinui shem, which is he changed it from Asham to Shlamim. Shinui mekomo, which is he moved it from the north to the south. And then shinui ma'asim we don't have, but he says we can have shinui ba'alim. And as Rashi claims over here, shinui ba'alim is k'shinui ma'aseh choshivle. It's equivalent of a shinoi maaseh. Now, why that is somewhat hard to understand. The achronim try to answer bedokach. What it seems that Rava is trying to say is, we're just counting the number of shinuim over here. Which is, in the case of the bird, you have three shinuim. I can simulate three shinuim by the case of the asham, even though they're not exactly the same shinuim, but I still can replicate that by adding in shinui balim. Because then, if you do that, you have Shinat Shemo, Shinat Mekomav, Shinat Ma'asav, because the Shinu Balim is equivalent to Shinu Ma'asav. So Tosfot says they could have brought up a case of Asham Mitzora, where there's not only a problem of Shinui Makom, Shinui Shmo, Shinui Makom, but also Shinui Ma'asav, because it's done with Kabbalah B'yad of the Kohen. And then you could have come up with a scenario that was identical. But in either case, what Rava's pointing out is that Rabbi Elazar didn't respond. Whether it would have been Asham Mitzora, or whether it would have been an Asham with Shinui Balim, he didn't respond, indicating that he started to understand Rabbi Yeshua's position was deriving from a different perspective. Since Rabbi Elazar did not answer this way to Rabbi Yeshua, he finally figured out what Rabbi Yeshua's logic was. And as we noted yesterday, we're about to see now, it has nothing to do with the discussion in the Mishnah. It's a totally different issue, which is the Amar of Adar Bahava, Omer Ayah Rabbi Yeshua. This is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. And Olat Ov, which you process below the Chuta Sikra, like a Chatat, L'Shem Chatat, as a Korban Chatat, Tov, Kevin Shemalak Basiman Achad, Nimshechet Minasit, Chatat Ov. As soon as you do a Malika on the single one of the Simanim, you've converted the Olat Ov to a Chatat Ov. So Rav Adar Bahava over here explains that Rav Yeshua's reasoning is simply that you basically changed this Olat Ov into a Chatat Ov in its entirety. You've done everything possible that could change it from an Olat Ov to a Chatat Ov, and then you process it that way, you succeed at doing it. The Gemara will refine this in a minute, but here you have to ask, and this is what I mentioned before, what's the connection between Rabbi Yeshua's opinion here according to Rav Adar Bahava and that which we saw in the Mishnah? So there are those that say there is no connection at all. They are completely independent answers, and each one can stand alone. Or do you say that the primary position of Rabbi Yeshua is that which Rav Adar Bahava says? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua is just responding to Rabbi Eliezer and telling him that whatever you're trying to disprove through your examples is just not true because the cases are not comparable. But Rabbi Yeshua's core reason is Rav Adar Bahava. That's what she's mentioning in the Mishnah, simply a tichiyah to dismiss the claims of Rabbi Eliezer that are undermining Rabbi Yeshua's position. The Gemara asks, "Iyalchi chatat ov nami shasalam ala k'maseh ola mikalim malik ba siman achad timashich mitabi olat ov." If this is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, and our understanding now is that if you can change a korban from what it is to something entirely differently in its entirety, that would work. So here we have the olat ov, where you convert it into a chatat ov by doing it as a chatat ov, below the Chuta Sikra. Kimasei chatat, complete change. So say the same thing in reverse. You take a chatat ov, and you do it le'olat ov, above the Chuta Sikra, kimasei ola, then it should also convert it in that case as well. Now what the Nafka Mina is, if you consider the chatat that's done malumi Chuta Sikra into an ola, or converts into ola, is somewhat difficult, and you can see that in Rashi's interpretation, but more explicitly in the Shita Mekubeset Otet, where he says, Hikshe Bekuntres, the Mayuchata Tease Ola. Ili in Yachlo Tochal, now that it won't be eaten like an Ola, even the Chatat would not be eaten, because the Chatat Shlo Lishma is Psula. If it's for Mi'ila, then there's still going to be Mi'ila, because the Chatat Psula still has Mi'ila, just like an Ola would have Mi'ila. So then what's the Nafkamino over here? And the Rashi says, and that's what the Shittim Kubetz brings in the name of Rashi, that it is, let's say, Yidei Chova. That if this person had an obligation to bring an Ola, that this would discharge their obligation vis-a-vis that Ola, or vice versa. In the case before, where we spoke about the Ola being converted into a Chatat, that would discharge their obligation as a Chatat. The Hava Mina here, when Rabbi Yeshua says works, mean that the Ola converts into a Chatat, or now we're saying a Chatat converts into Ola, means it fully converts and becomes a kosher korban of the other type. We'll see in tomorrow's daf that that's not the case, but that's what Rashi suggests is the Havamina over here. But the Shittim in Kubetzin on that position of Rashi says, V'dochak l'markein, d'lo yada maskana t'ashto. Doesn't make so much sense to say that Gemara didn't know the maskana later on, and therefore he says, V'nira l'haram, d'linyan haktarak amar. Steinbell, what do you have to do with the bird? In the case where you convert the Ola to a Chatat, it no longer can be placed on the Mizbeach, because it now became a chatat, which doesn't go on the Mizbeach. That means, imala terei. On the other hand, if you bring the chatat and convert it into an ola, then an ola should be put on the Mizbeach, and that means that this chatat should go on the Mizbeach. Or at least, If bidiyavad, you put it on the Mizbeach, lo tered, it shouldn't come down because it has a din of haktara associated with it. And that's the nafkamina, if you had brought a chatat and processed it like an olah above the chuta sikra. Now, the Balei Tosafot note over here, how come the Gemara only asks from the verse case of a chatat of the dual olah and olah tov? Why don't they ask from other cases by animals, where you switch the korban, just like we had before, the Asham and the Shlamim, or any other one that you have a change? How come the Gemara's focus on the case of the birds? You could say, because that's the example brought in the Mishnah, and they're just reversing the case in the Mishnah, because the case in the Mishnah is one way, and they're just reversing it and saying, why can't you do it? The Balei Tosafot would say, here, there's a more fundamental reason, and that is, v'lo parich she'im shechu ela mikinim. He says that they only ask this question with regards to birds, korbanot that are brought from birds, damrina, because we have a principle with regards to kinim, ena kinim mitparshot, ela oba lekichat balim, oba asiyat kohen. The birds can only be defined as to what their purpose is by the balim, the owners, at the time of hektish. The time they're makdishit, they can define it as a chatat or an olah. After that point, they cannot define it. So at the time of hektish, there's one point where you can do it. If you don't do it then, the next point of decision is the kohen who processes it. The kohen who processes it can determine whether it is a chatat or whether it is an olah. And for that reason, hilkach tahani nami halcha shetima sheikh. That's why the Balei Tosafot say, I think this is answering your question, why over here can you change the korban? What's so unique over here? Can you just change any korban by just changing the name of the korban and doing it like the other korban? The answer is no. It is uniquely associated with birds because birds have two decision points, the time that the balim are makdishit and when the kohen processes it. The kohen has more power with regards to birds than he has been any other korban. By any other korban, it's defined at the time of hakdesh by the balim, and that's it. The Kohen can be posel it after the fact, but he can't change the status of the animal from one to another or determine which korban it is. On the other hand, by birds, the Kohen has power not only to be posel it, he has the power to decide which one's a chatad and which one's an olah. Now the truth is, that's only when the balim didn't decide can the Kohen decide. But what the Balei Tosafot are pointing out is, that power of the Kohen shows you that birds are a little different than other korbanot or korbanot behemah, because the Kohen does have that power. Since he has that power, there might be the ability to convert from an olah to a chatat or a chatat to an olah, because that is something the Kohen is empowered to do in certain instances. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, in Ot Lamedcheri says, Avashar Karbanot, lo bahani klal asiyat Kohen. Kach teretz Rabbeinu Chaim. That's Rabbeinu Chaim, or that's what's brought in the Balei Tosafot. The Riva teretz, the Riva on the other hand says that's not the reasoning over here. The Dafka Bofot, the reason that they bring the example of birds is, the Leka Ela Bet Mine Korbanot. There's only two options by birds. It's either a Chatat, or it's an Olah. There you can speak about the moving it from one to the other. Because either you bring it as an Olah, if you don't bring it as an Olah, you bring it as a Chatat. There are only two options, and they are different. You can't bring any other type of Korban through Ofot. So, Miyad Mishina Maseh Olah, Vasa Maseh Chatat, Nimshecha Deot Chatat. So as soon as you make a change to the olah, it becomes a chatat. That's the only other option that's there. It's the only other maaseh that you can do. Aval bebeima, when it comes to animals, heicha muchach mitoch masav tatavi shlamim. There's nothing in your action that will tell us that it is not an asham and is a shlamim, because yesh harbei korbanot shedomim maasehem ze lezeh. There may be any korbanot that have the same exact trappings, meaning that even if you do it in the south, all kodshei kolim are done in the south. That doesn't mean that you're doing a shlamim. It could be you're doing a todah. It could be that you're doing a pesach. It could be doing a maaser, b'chor. All of those are also done in the south. So how do you know when you shech the animal, you're moving from asham to shlamim? There's nothing mukha. There's nothing determinant about it that tells you you've switched the korban to something else. Shechita? Shechita is the same shechita for all korbanot. There's no distinction. Kodshei kodeshim, kodshim kolim. Any korban that you bring has the same shechita associated with it. As opposed to a fault where the chatat and the olah are distinctly different melikot, and there's only two options there. So based on that, the Riva suggests that's why the Gemara is very focused on birds and doesn't ask from behema, or that's why Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is only applicable by birds, and that's why they stay within the world of kinin. That's why the Gemara poses the question about Rabbi Yeshua's position: if you can switch an olah to chatat, let's switch a chatat to an olah, but it's all within that world of birds that they're asking. If you want to say Eino Chanami, that Rabbi Yeshua really would hold that way, which is that just like you could switch an Olat Ohf to a Chatat Ohf, same would be true in the reverse. If you took a Chatat Ohf and processed it above the Chutei Sikra, the same Olah, like an Olah, it would also bake it into an Olah. Hamar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Bano. Rabbi Yochanan says over in the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Bano. Kachi Hatza'ah Shel Mishnah. This is the view of the Mishnah, or this is the explanation of the Mishnah. I mean, if the way the Mishnah is written is accurate, my love, what does that mean? Kachi Hatza'ah Betulo. This is the case that Rabbi Yeshua brings in our Mishnah. And the case that's mentioned there is the sole case where this is true. That's the explanation of this Mishnah. And there's no extrapolation that you would make from that to other cases, because the Mishnah gives you the exact situation or circumstance in which Rabbi Yeshua's din is correct. Lo, kachatza shel kula Mishnah. Now this is the explanation of the entirety of the Mishnah, which means not only about that particular case where Rabbi Yeshua said it works, but it's about the whole Mishnah, even the other cases in the Mishnah. If you reversed it, it would work out the same way. Vashi Amar, Vashi now gives a logic which explains why Rabbi Yeshua uniquely associates this din with a latof that is converted to a chatatof and doesn't work vice versa. Bishlama olatof shasalamato kimase chatat. An olatof that you do below the chutei sikra, like a chatat, the same chatat as a chatat, kevin daha hechsher b'siman echad, they hechsher of a korban chatat of is by maliko of one of the simanim. By hechsher of shnei simanim, and the olat of requires two simanim, but olat of lamata leta. And olat of isn't done below the chutei sikra. Kevin de malak bas siman achad, imshechet naseit chatat of. As soon as you do one siman, it's drawn in and becomes chatat of. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi gives a little more explanation for this. What he says is, ube chatat, have a gemar avoda, mikodem shchala l'ashem psul. By the time you get to the point where this is a olah psula, you've already completed the entirety of the chatat. And that is because when you do a malika of a single siman by the olah ta'of, by the olah ta'of, that doesn't make it psul, you have to do two simanim. So the first siman makes it that you're starting on the process, the second siman would make it into an olah. Over here, what he ends up doing is doing one siman below the chutei sikra before he ever gets to the second siman, which would have made it into an op psula because you're doing it below the chutei sikra. So by the time you get to the second siman and you're below the chutei sikra, you've already completed the entirety of what you would need to make it into a chatat. And so that's what's unique about this case. The uniqueness of this case is you can convert it to a chatat before it ever becomes an olah psula. An olah psula would require two simanim, because that's where you process an olah, below chutei sikra. But you, before that point, you've already done one siman, and hazat adam and mitzvah yadam, never reached the second siman, and you're below the chutei sikra, you've got a kosher chatat before you ever get to an olah psula. Chatatov, by the reverse case, that's not true, where you have a chatatov, kevin damar, malika b'chol makom ksheira, since we know by the chatatov, you do the malika below the chutei sikra, or above the chutei sikra, Mechi malak ba siman echad, ifsala. As soon as you do a milika of one siman, you've already made it into a chatat psula. Ki hadar malak b'idach siman. When you go through the second siman, that makes it now into an olah ta'of. Heichi mamshecha b'avi olah ta'of. How do you now change it into an olah ta'of? Meaning that you still did a process that would have been fine for a chatat. On the upper half of the Mizbeach, when you do a malika of one siman, there's nothing there that identifies this as a chatat psula. A chatat, you can do malika on the top or the bottom of the Mizbeach, you do it with a single siman, you still have a chatat shera at this point. You hit the second siman, now you made it into an olah. But you already started down the process of making this into a chatat, you already had passed the point of malika for the chatat, shelo lishma, and now you're up to the hazat adam. Then you go through the second siman, that's something that now converts into an olah, but you already had it in the path of a chatat. So in the case where you took an olah and you moved it over to a chatat, you do everything that's needed for the chatat, and you never even start down the process of anything that's associated with the olah, because you never hit the second siman. The vice versa, when you take the chatat and you process it in an olah, you already started the chatat. You did a malika vasiman echad up above. That's a chatat psula because you did it shalol lishma. You did it the shem ola. Then you do a second siman. You want to convert it to an ola. Can't do that then because you've already started it to make it into a chatat. You started to make it into chatat. Then you can't suddenly flip it into an ola. And so that's the difference between converting an olatov to a chatatov versus converting chatatov to an olatov. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua's position is uniquely associated with an olato that you do below the chut sikra, the shame chatat, the masay chatat, that's the only instance where he thinks there is such a conversion. So now, based on Ravashi, we can understand, now Ravada Bahava's statement was made more broadly about the position of Rabbi Yeshua. Ravashi comes along and narrows that qualification to say it's uniquely associated with olato to chatato because you have this unusual circumstance which can be replicated in no other place where you can create a kosher chatat before you ever touch the olah that you were bringing. That doesn't work by other behemot. That doesn't work by even a chatatov that you're converting to an olatov. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is kehatza'ah shel mishnah zo. That's the hatza'ah. That's the only example where Rabbi Yeshua believes that's true and no other example. Tosfot does ask over here, why do you need to have the malika to define it as a chatat when you do the olah below? Because as we saw before, when you do the chatat above, the fact that the malika of a chatat is ksheira there already makes it that it's not nimshech at the ot olah. But that means in the reverse, when you start processing the olah down below, that in and of itself should be enough of a reason to define it as a chatat. Why do you also need the malika of the siman? And so he quotes from Mefresh Rabbeinu Chaim, the klal ze yehei biyotcha dolom eno korban nimshach, le'asod korban acher ela machmat shnei tamim shemamshichim oto. You need two things to define it as a chatat here, an olah as a chatat, or vice versa, a chatat as an olah. And that's why over here you need two things. Number one, you're doing it, you're processing it below the chut sikra. And number two is you did a mlika of a siman echad and not shnei simanim. And likely that also means when you do the mlika siman echad, that it includes rov basar, which then makes it that it is a siman echad and not shnei simanim. And so those two things define it as a chatat. That's what causes it to be nimshach, the old chatat, and not an olah. So it's the malika, the siman echad, the mata, together that create the package that converts it from an olah to a chatat. And vice versa, when you take the chatat and you process it in an olah, as the Sheet of Mikubetzit notes, before you ever get to the two things that would make it an olah, as opposed to a chatat, which is number one that you did Malika of Shnei Simanim, and you did it Shalo Lishma, both of which are not acceptable by a Chatat. Now you're going to make it into an Olah. Before all that happens, you have it become a Chatat Psula. And that is because after the Malika of the first Siman, Shalo Lishma, it's already a Chatat Psula before you ever made it or converted it into an Olah. As opposed to the case where you're converting the Olah to the Chatat, after the first siman, you've already converted it to a chatat before you ever get to the point where it's pasul for an olah, because you would need two simanim below the chut sikra in order to make it pasul. And here, having it below the chut sikra with one siman already is converted to a chatat before you reach the point of an olah psula. So gufa, now the Gemara wants to test this or understand this. Amar Rav Ada Bava Omer Haya Rabbi Yehoshua Olatov Shasal Amatak Masei Chatat Hashem Chatat Kevin Shemalak Pas Siman Echad Nimshechet Nasit Chatatov Tashma. And here we're going to start bringing Mishnayot in Kinim from Perek Gimel. There are only three Perkim in Kinim, starting from the third Mishnah in Kinim, and we're going to continue towards the end of Kinim. You just have to know that in Masechet Kinim the cases get more and more complex as you move through the Masechta, until you've reached the most complex case, which is the last Mishnah in the Masechta. So here the Gemara is going to bring one or two cases from the middle of Perek Gimel, and then it's going to challenge from the last Mishnah in Perek Gimel. So we're going to end up doing the hardest part of Kinim right here. Most of it is not necessarily relevant to our topic. That is, the first examples that are brought are very relevant and similar cases. But by the time we get to the end, where we're doing the last Mishnayot in Kinin, the Gemara is just after the fact that Rabbi Yeshua is the last Tana that speaks in Kinin. And therefore, they want to assign attribution of Kinin to Rabbi Yeshua. And so they bring the last long Mishnah, not to tell you anything about the Mishnah itself, but simply to get to that last line of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua says something. So that complexity is added here, nothing to do with our Gemara, but just to get to the point that this must be authored by Rabbi Yeshua. So that will end up doing majority of that tomorrow. But for today, we're starting out with the Mishnah Gimel in Kinin. To understand with regards to Kinin, the birds that are brought as korbanot can come in one of two forms, and that is Torim or Bnei Yonah. Those are the two species of birds that can be brought as korbanot in the Mikdash. That's number one. Number two is that you usually bring birds as pairs. That's why we saw 2 days ago that the Gemara said that we need a vehikri vote to teach us that you're allowed to bring a single bird. That you don't have to bring two birds each time because the standard quantity is two birds, and that's the way they were sold in Yerushalayim. They would sell two birds. The other thing to know is that kan, what's called mifureshet, where you've explained what you want the korban to be. You want it to be a chatat, you want it to be an olah. You've explained what it is, and they're differentiated. There is also a concept called the kan stuma, which is a case where you bring the birds, but you never define what they are. As we saw before, as Rashi quoted from the Gemara in Yoma, that's fine because the kohen can define what they are. You bring the kain without any explanation as to which bird is what, and then you give it to the kohen, he decides which one's the chatat, which one is the olam. That's totally fine. That's what's called a kan stuma, where you never define it, it's stam, and then it's defined by the kohen. You have a kan mifureshet, where the balim already decided which one it is. So mifureshet will add an additional complexity, which is if the kohen then mixes them up or does something wrong, you're going to end up in a position where you have difficulties, and that's a lot of what Masechet Kinim is built around, are misunderstandings or lack of communication or mix-ups between the balim and the kohen or the processing of the kohen that cause these problems. That's exactly what we're going to enter. The other thing to know is that when you're dealing with a chuvah, again, generally it's a chatat and an olah. One exception is the case of the yoledet. It's a case where the woman is wealthy enough that she brings a keves for an olah, and a ben yonah utor lechatat, brings one bird. If she's poorer, then she brings two birds, one leolah and one lechatat. But the wealthier woman brings a keves leolah and a tor or ben yonah lechatat. So that's the one case where you have a chovah, an obligatory korban that is brought, where it's only one bird, and that one bird is a chatat. Otherwise, you're bringing them as pairs of birds, one leolah, one lechatat. There's also a possibility of donating birds, or bringing a voluntary offering. Voluntary offerings can only be an olah, cannot be a chatat. It means if you bring birds as voluntary offerings, they are olot. Right? That's just some of the basics that we're dealing with over here. So now, the Mishnah says, chatat lezo, vola lezo. The two women came along and brought a pair of birds. The reason that they're bringing a pair of birds is because only one of them needs a chatat, and one of them needs an olah. So they bring a jointly a pair of birds. The reason likely they do this is because it's probably cheaper and easier to buy a pair of birds. They were sold as pairs. And so therefore, if you're going to buy them, you buy them as a pair, and then you can just share whichever bird you need instead of trying to buy it as a single, where it would cost you more money. The reason that they have to do this is either because they want to bring their korbanot separately, meaning they want to bring their chatat at one point and olah at another point. Rashi over here suggests they already brought their chatat, they already brought their olah. And now they just need the other korban to be brought, which you're allowed to do. You don't have to bring them at the same time. Or it was a case where one of them flew away, so they brought one of the korbanot, but the other one flew away, or the kohen mixed up or did something wrong with one of them. So now we're in a position where Rachel needs a chatat, and Leah needs an olah. And that's exactly what they do. They purchase together the birds, one for Rachel as a chatat, one for Leah as an olah. But then, asash dehem lamala. The Kohen never checks with them as to what the purpose of these birds are. And then he goes ahead and he processes them. The first possibility is, asash dehem lamala. He does both of them on the upper half of his beach like an olato. Mechsa kasher u mechsa pasul. One of the two is kasher, one of the two is pasul. The ola is kshera. The chatat is psula because it was done on the upper half of his beach. Shtehem lamato. If they were both done below the chutz sikra, like a chatat of, then mechsa kasher, mechsa pasul. Once again, the olat of will be psula because it was done below the chutz sikra like a chatat. The chatat, which was supposed to be done there and was done there, will be kshera. Achat namala v'achat namato. They do one above and one below. Shtehen psulot. They're both problematic. Sheni omer. Because I say, chatat kreva namala, vola kreva namato. Then he mixed them up and he got it wrong. He took the lottery and he picked the wrong one. He put the one above was the chatat, and the one he did below was the olah. So he got them mixed up, and now he did both of them backwards. then you need to bring a replacement for both of them because they are both psulot in that case. Okay, so what? In that Mishnah and Kinin, why don't you say exactly what we just said before, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the Ola that was done above was now done below, should convert into a Chatat, that should be a Chatat. In the case where you did both of them Amalo, nothing to discuss. Did both of them Amato, we don't need the Chatat, because you already, the Chatat was supposed to be done, the Amato was done. But in the case we did flip them, and he did one above and one below, and we say, he did the Ola below, and he did the Chatat above, at least you should walk away with the Chatat over here. Because either he got them right, and he put the Chatat below and the Ola above, and therefore the Chatat is Kshera, or he got them wrong, and he did the Ola below, and the Chatat above. The Chatat above is no good. But the Ola that he did below, according to Rabbi Yeshua, should become a Chatat. So at minimum, you should end up in this case with a Chatat Kshera. Timasheich mitavei Chatat Ov. Why shouldn't it be a Chatat Ov in this case? Gemara answers, Imar dem Rabbi Yeshua b'chad gavra, betray gavra mi omar. The answer is so straightforward and so simple that we have to question what the person asking the question was thinking. Over here, this case is very different than the case of Rabbi Yeshua. In the case of Rabbi Yeshua, you have a single person who's bringing a korban olat ov, and then it gets converted into a chatat ov. So all that happened was he changed the korban, but it's the same owner that had an olat ov. Now they have a chatat ov that's being brought. In this case, the olat ov is owned by one woman, and the chatat ov is owned by another woman. The woman who needs the chatat ov is not the one bringing the olat ov. The one bringing the olat ov doesn't necessarily need the chatat ov. You're talking about two different people. Why should it be that Rachel's chatat, now which is psula, so she needs a replacement, so Leah's ola, that was done, instead of above the chodesh you got below the chodesh you got, should discharge Rachel's obligation? That doesn't make any sense. You're taking a korban that belongs to Leah and trying to now assign it to Rachel. That you can't do. So over here, how can you compare the two cases? The case in Kinin is a case where you have two balim. In Rabbi Shua's case, the case we have one balim. So it's one thing to convert an olat ov to chatat ov for the same person. To convert an olat ov for one person to a chatat ov for another person, that's not going to work. It's so obvious, the answer, that the Baal just would say, Tema, hechi sakadat chamikara shitimashek olat layam tasei chatat rachel. What was the questioner thinking when he said that you could convert them? The Baidus will give B'dochak an answer, which is that they created some sort of condition up front, which is, if it doesn't work out for you, it'll work out for me. Basically, they not only shared the pair of birds here, but they also shared the outcome, which is, if something can work out in my favor, then you will assign it to me. If something works out in your favor, I'll assign it to you. So that's the Havamina, that would work. The answer is that you can't do that because, one, the chatat belongs to Rachel, the olah belongs to Leah. The olah of Leah is not going to discharge Rachel's obligation for a chatat. Or it's a case where they were both chayavot chatat and both chayavot olah, but nevertheless they shared in a cane that involved one chatat and one olah. And therefore, maybe there was a havamina that the chatat that they needed still could be discharged by the olah coming down and being a chatat. But the Gemara nevertheless rejects that because the Kohen who's bringing it is bringing it for that particular woman. But it doesn't work because in the end, the Kohen was mitkaven to bring this Ola, the same Chatat, for the other woman. Her Ola converted into a Chatat, even though she needs a Chatat, the Kohen did not have her in mind because when he did the Chatat, he had the other woman in mind. And that's why it fails because you can't bring a Chatat of one person and then expect it to discharge the obligation of the other party. Now the Gemara says, Tashma. Now they bring the next Mishnah in Kinin. That was Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. Now we move on to Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet. Over there we have Chatat, Ve'ola, Ustuma, Umifureshet. You actually have six birds that are brought here, at least according to the Girsa of Rashi. You should know that there is an alternate Girsa. You can see sentiments of that in the Baal Tosafot, who says, Lo yetzarich l'mitnei el Ustuma, Umifureshet. The Mishnah only had to write Ustuma, Umifureshet. The fact that there's a chatat and olah over there makes no difference to the case. We have it in our girsa, and that's the girsa of Rashi. There were those like the Ravid and the Balamor who have a girsa that leaves out the chatat and the olah in this case. And again, that's the sentiment in Tosafot that the chatat and olah here don't make a difference. It's the stuma and mifureshet. We'll read it like Rashi because that's the girsa we have in our Gemara. So you have here women that are bringing in a shared basis a bunch of birds. They bring together a chatat and ola, which is that Rachel brings a chatat, Leah and ola, that's one shared pair of birds that they bring. In addition to that, they purchase a pair of birds, stuma, which they don't define it, not as a chatat, not as an ola, and that will be then defined by the Kohen. And then they brought a third pair of birds, where it was mifureshet, where it was defined which one was an ola, which one was a chatat, but not necessarily for whom they were a chatat or ola, but it was still defined as an ola and a chatat. So now, they bring these birds to the Kohen, and once again, the Kohen does not check as to what he's to do, and he goes ahead and he processes the birds without asking what is necessary in this case. He makes assumptions, and based on those assumptions, we have to look at the different possible outcomes that we have over here. As Rashi points out over here, Shitalan dechol kain v'kain haya b'fnei atzmo. So Rashi makes it clear here, and in this area, there are those Rishonim that disagree with Rashi. There's the Rambam and the Rosh Mishnah that explain these Mishnayot differently. We're going to stick with Rashi's pshat because it's difficult enough just getting through Rashi's pshat over here. But Rashi notes that these three pairs of birds were kept separate. That there's not a mix-up of all the birds here. There's a mix-up of each pair of birds. And so therefore you keep each one separate, and for that reason you can define afterwards the outcomes in each of these situations. As opposed to the other Rishonim who think that all the birds got mixed up, and therefore they explain the Mishnah slightly differently. So then we have the case here, we have these three pairs of birds that are brought, and then the Kohen goes ahead and processes them without checking in. And he goes, Kulan namalo. If he does all of them above the Chuta Sikra, then Mechza Kasher, Umechza Pasul. Half of them are Kshirim, half of them are Psulim. In that case, all the Chataot are problematic, because they were done above the Chuta Sikra. All the Olot are Kshirot, because they were done above the Chuta Sikra. So out of the three pairs of birds, each one of those pairs will have one bird that is kasher, the one that was an ola. They will also have one of the pair of birds that is psula, because it was a chatat that was done above the chuta sikra. Kulan mata, on the other hand, if you do all of them below the chuta sikra, mefsa kasher, or mefsa pasul. Once again, they're half kasher, half pasul, but in the opposite direction. All the olot will be psulot, because you're doing that below the chuta sikra. All the chataot will be ksherot, because they were done below the chuta sikra. Chetzian the mala, the chetzian the mato, you do half above and half below, then in that case, enak shera ela stuma. The stuma is the only one that is shera in this case. Umit chaleket b'nehem. And then they divide it up between them. So in the case where you have these three sets of birds and he does half above, half below, now we run into a problem. The chatat that was defined and the olah that was defined, we're afraid that he mixed them up and actually reversed them. And Rachel's chatat ended up being done above the chuta sikra, and Leah's olah ended up being done below the chuta sikra, so they are both psulot. The kan mifureshet, you have the same problem. Even though the balim were not assigned to these birds, nevertheless they defined the birds as a chatat and an olah. And once again, we're going to assume when he did half above, half below, that he did the chatat above, and he did the olah below. And in that case, those are both psulot. This stuma, the kran stuma, which is where you didn't define the birds as a chatat and olah, and it's up to the Kohen, that pair of birds will be ksherot. Because over there, the Kohen is the one who decides. We said either the balim at the shat hektesh, or the Kohen at the shat maaseh, can define it. So here the balim didn't do it at the shat hektesh, therefore now it's the Kohen's option to decide what to do. And over here he put one above, one below. Whatever he put above becomes an olah. Whatever he put below is a chatat. For that reason, only two out of the six birds are ksherot, and they'll have to split it between them. Rachel needed two chataot and one olah, and Leah needed two olot and one chatat. So now they'll split between them, the chatat and olah. Probably the one who needed more chataot will get that one, and the one who needed more olot will get the other one. But now the Gemara asks the question again, Ve'ema, nehi nami do olah kreva lamata, timashek v'tavei chatat olf. We know that by the case of the chatat Rachel, and the Olah Le'ah, we can't apply Rabbi Yeshua over here, because Rabbi Yeshua is not relevant when you're talking about two different Balim. You already established that before. By the Kan Stuma, you said they were Kshirot. Now they discuss over there. But by the Kan Mifureshet, you said they're both Psulot. Why should it be they're both Psulot? By the Kan Mifureshet, you have one Chatat and one Olah. And now he did one above, one below, and we assumed he mixed them up. He did the Olah below, and the Chatat above. So the chatat above is clearly psula, and there's nothing to discuss. But the ola ha'tov, either he did it right and did it above the chutz sikra, even if he did it wrong, it was below the chutz sikra, should convert into a chatat based on Rabbi Yoshua. So why don't we say mimonov shach that in the kan mifureshet the chatat should be kshera? Because either the chatat was done below the chutz sikra correctly, or the chatat was done above the chutz sikra, but the ola was done below the chutz sikra, and that converted into a chatat. In the case of the kan mifureshet, as we said before, the balim were not assigned. So then the birds could belong to one of the two women, and one of the two women could get that benefit of the chatat. Either because the chatat was brought in the right place, or because the ola was brought in as the chatat, and she could then get the benefit of that chatat, because there it's one person that we're discussing. So that would be a question against Rabbi Yeshua. V'chi teima ha'deloka Rabbi Yeshua, if you want to say that the Mishnayot in Kinim do not follow the position of Rabbi Yeshua, I have a response to that, which is, we're going to now look at the Perigimel Mishnah Vav in Kinim, which is a very difficult Mishnah. Again, we're going to go through multiple cases in that single Mishnah, all to get to the last line of that Mishnah, which says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, that indicates that Rabbi Yeshua is the author. The attribution of authorship of Kinin is to Rabbi Yeshua, and therefore this Mishnah would be a question on Rabbi Yeshua. The Gemara in tomorrow's daf, right before the Mishnah, will give an answer to that question, which is that Rabbi Yeshua believes that it loses its shem mi'ilah, but that doesn't make it into a kosher korban. That'll be the key distinction in Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. That's why the Mishnah in Kinim is not a question in Rabbi Yeshua. But in the interim, we need to get through a very difficult Mishnah in Kinim. And again, I sent out the handouts that might be helpful in looking at them as we go through the cases. We'll go through a number of the cases. I'm going to stop in the middle of the Mishnah. We'll complete the Mishnah in tomorrow's daf. Tashma. Aisha Shamra, Harei Alai, Kain, Imeleit Zachar. She says, I will bring a pair of birds if I give birth to a male. Yalda Zachar. And sure enough, she gave birth to a male. Mevia Shtei Kinim. She has to bring two sets of birds. One set of birds for her discharging her neder that she took. One set of birds to discharge her obligation as a woman giving birth. The yoledet has to bring two birds. Now, the difference between them, one is a kan chova, and one of them is a kan nidra. The kan chova is comprised of an achatat and an ola. The kan nidra is composed of two olot, because a neder, or voluntary bringing of birds, can only be done as olot. So over here, where she took a neder to bring a pair of birds, in addition to her obligation as a yoledet, she has to bring two pairs of birds, one pair that'll discharge her obligation regarding being a yoledet, a chatat, and ola. The other pair of birds that will discharge her obligation of her neder, which will both be olot. And then, she brings them to the Beit HaMikdash. Natanan the Kohen, she gave them to the Kohen, a Kohen Tzirich LaSotan, Shlosh Tamal V'Achat Tamato. The Kohen, if he was properly processing them, should have done three of the birds above the Chutz Sikra to be olot, and one of the birds below the Chutz Sikra to be a chatat. Lo asa kein, he didn't do this. El asa shtayim lamalav, shtayim lamato. Velo nimlach, instead he didn't check, and he ended up doing two above the Chutz Sikra and two below the Chutz Sikra. Zrichash davi od preit achat, v'takrivena lamalo. She has to bring one replacement bird and do it above the Chutz Sikra, mimin achad. That is true when she brought the birds from one species. So over here, where she brought the birds from a single species, and she brought three olot and one chatat, the Kohen misprocessed them and did two above the Chutz Sikra, two below the Chutz Sikra. So two of them that were done above the Chutz Sikra, kshirot. Those are olot kshirot, because this is a kan stuma, and therefore the Kohen can define it. So the two he did above the Chutz Sikra are olot, like they were supposed to be. The two that he did below the Chutz Sikra, one of them was a proper chatat, because she needed to bring a chatat. The second one is the psula. It should have been an ola, and instead he processed it as a chatat. So what she has to do is replace that ola that was done below the Chutz Sikra. She has to replace, and therefore she brings a single bird to replace the situation. That's true when you're dealing with a single species. But then, mishnei minin. There's a case where she brought him from two different species. Now, in bringing them from two different species, she brings one set of species that's going to be the kan chovata, and one that's going to be kan nidra. Now, she does not define either. She gives two sets of birds. Both of them are stumot, And now, the Kohen is supposed to process one set of birds as a Nolana Chatat, and one set of birds as Olot. But we don't know any information. She didn't tell him which one is which, and he also didn't check which one is which, and he ends up doing Shtaim Lamala, Ustaim Lamato. He does two below, two above, and two below. He should have done Umishnei Minim, three above to be the Olot, one below to be the Chatat, and that he didn't do. He did two above and two below. Now, as far as the Kan Chuvata, she discharged her obligation because there was an Olah brought, there was a Chatat brought from one of the species. The problem is, by the Kan Nidra, she did not discharge her obligation because one of those was an Olah, that's fine. But one of them was brought as a Chatat, which was improper. But the problem is, we don't know which species was brought as the Chuva and which species was brought as the Neder. And since that's the case, we don't know which Olah to replace. Now this is based on Rashi's Shita, which again the Rambam disagrees with, and therefore gives a different explanation of this Mishnah. But Rashi says that whatever pair of birds were brought first are the Chuva. You always have to bring your Chuva before you bring your Neder. So over here, whatever two birds he processed first, they became the Kan Chuva. Since they're the Kan Chuva, that's discharged because he did one above, one below. One was an Olah, one was a Chatat, it was a Kan Stuma, totally fine. The second set of birds that you brought are the Neder. Those second set of birds should have both been Olot. Instead of going in one above, which is an Olah, is fine. One below, which is a Chatat, which is problematic. That Chatat now needs to be replaced because it was done incorrectly with an Olah. The problem is we don't know which species was done first to be the Chuva, and then which leaves the other species to be the Neder. Since we don't know which one is which, there, Tavi Shtayim, she has to bring two birds over there, one Ben Yonah and one Tor, in order to discharge her obligation with regards to the Neder for the one that was done incorrectly. And again, since we don't know which of the species was done incorrectly, which one was the second one that was the Neder, she has to bring one from each species to be an Olah in order to replace the possible problematic Olah that was brought as a Chatat. If he did B'nai Yonah first, and then the Torim were second, then she needs to bring a replacement Tor, the Olah. If they did the Torim first, and the B'nai Yonah second, then she needs to bring a replacement for the Olat Ben Yonah that was done as a Chatat. For that reason, she has to bring one Tor, one Ben Yonah, each of them being an Olah, to replace it. Now again, all of these are Spekot. By an Olah, that's not a problem, because you can bring an Olah as a voluntary offering. So when she brings the replacement Olah, she does it out tonight. If I need to bring this Olah to discharge my obligation, it'll be in lieu of what was done wrong to discharge my Neder. If whatever I brought was done correctly, then I bring in this Olah to Oph as a voluntary offering, as a donation to Mikdash. That is true by the Olah. It turns out that by Chatat Oph, the same din is true. And that is by Chatat Oph, even though normally Chatot cannot be brought as a voluntary offering, the only korban that can be brought out as a faith, as a voluntary offering, is a chatat oof. Therefore, the woman, even if there's a mix-up with regards to chatat oof, will also bring a chatat misafek. Now, the Gemara moves on to a more complicated case, which is Pershat Nidra. She defined her neder. If it was brought from one species all along, then she needs to bring an additional three birds. She has to bring her chovah, because she's a yoledet. She also took a neder, defining which type of bird she was going to bring, Torim or B'nai Yonah. But she forgot. She didn't know. So now, in order to discharge her obligation properly, she should have done the following. She should have brought two birds from whatever species she chose to be her chovah. Then for her neder, she should have brought a pair of Torim and a pair of B'nai Yonah, each one of them olot, in order to discharge her neder and completely satisfy whatever she needed to do. But she didn't do that. Instead, she brought two pairs of birds of the same species. And the Kohen, once again, didn't ask her what this was for. He did Shtaim Lamala and Shtaim Lamato. So now again, here, pick Torim. Instead of bringing a pair of Torim for the Chovah, and then a pair of Torim and a pair of B'nai Yonah to discharge the neder, instead, she just brought two pairs of Torim. So the first pair of Torim that he did, that discharges her obligation as an old Yoledet, and that Chatat and Olah are fine. The second pair that she brought, one of those was Psula, because the Olah was done correctly. But the Chatat, the Olah that was done as a Chatat, the one that was done below the Chodesh Sikra, is problematic. So that you'll have to replace. So in that case where you had Torim, they tore the olah that was done as a chatat will have to be replaced. In addition to that, you're going to have to bring two olot from the other species in order to satisfy your neder. Because your neder, you define what it was, torim or bnei yonah. And over here, we don't know which one you said. So you have to bring one tor to replace the tor, the olah that was done as a chatat. Then you have to bring two bnei yonah as olot to discharge the possibility that that was your neder. And that's what the Mishnah says here. So you have to bring gimel predim, three birds, in order to satisfy her obligation here. That's true by min echad. But if you do it mishnei minim, if she brings it from two different species, now you have a problem. So what she did was, she took a neder, it's the same case. She took a neder that I'm going to bring a pair of birds if I give birth to a zachar. She then gives birth to a zachar, and she has to bring a kan chova, and she has to bring a kan to discharge her neder. She defined in her neder what exactly it is that she needed to bring. So, if she comes to us and asks what she should do, she should bring three pairs of birds. One set of birds, doesn't matter the species, that is brought as her korban chova as a yoledet. And then two pairs, one of each species, to discharge her obligation vis-a-vis her neder, where she defined what she was going to bring. But instead of doing that, she only brought two pairs. Not three pairs, but two pairs. And the two pairs that she brought, one was bnei yonah, and one was torim. Now that she only bring two pairs instead of three pairs, she brought two different species over here. The Kohen didn't ask us what to do. And once again, he did shtayim lamala v'shtayim lamato. He did two above and two below. The problem we now have is he had two different sets of birds. And he doesn't know which species he did first. He doesn't know if he did the torim first or if he did the bnei yonah first. And so now we have a problem because we don't know which one she satisfied. So for instance, had she brought the torim for her kan chova, that's what the Kohen processed, then that's fine. She discharged her obligation vis-a-vis the chova. The neder that comes afterwards then was brought from the alternate species, which is bnei yonah. Now the bnei yonah, one of those two bnei yonah were psulot. Or vice versa. If the bnei yonah were brought first, Rashi the Shittato that says the chova goes first, then they become a chatat and olah, they discharge her obligation as the oledet. But then she brought torim afterwards, as the discharging of the neder, over there, one of those two torim was pasul, because it was done like a chatat. So now, given those two possibilities, we're going to have to replace one olah from each species. Because it could be the bnei yonah were first, and the torim were second. So you have to bring a torle olah to replace the olah that was done like a chatat. Or it could be the other way around. The torim were done first, and the bnei yonah second. And in the bnei yonah, the olah that was done like a chatat is psulah, and you have to bring a replacement. So now you're going to bring one replacement from each species in order to take care of her obligation towards her neder, and the one that was problematic, you have to replace. But in addition to that, you have to bring two birds from the other species. You see, two birds from the other species because we don't know what her neder was. So we don't even know if her neder was discharged because she might have brought the wrong species over here. Therefore, she has to bring arba. She has to bring four pregot over here. Two from each species. One set of torim, one set of bnei yonah, all four of them olot, in order to discharge her obligation. Either because she needs to replace the olah that was done, or she didn't do it right at all because it was the other species that she had promised. She has to bring two from the other one, and then vice versa, and then you'll end up just bringing four, two of each of the birds. That's where we're at the dalet. Alright, we're gonna stop here in the middle of the Mishnah on the last line here on Samach Zayman Aved. Because the Mishnah continues to get more complex and adds on another layer of complexity, which we'll start tomorrow about Kava Nidra.